Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know that guy that goes, bosh, amazing,
sick.
Yeah, the complete opposite of that is United. Shite, disgraceful, abomination,
disoriented.
I want to poke my eyes.
Yes, everybody, welcome back to the Real Football Podcast, episode 44. Mm. It feels really good, actually, to be introing this one. It's been a while. 44.
Like Lewis Hamilton.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Real Football Podcast. Like I said, it is so good to be back here. Mm-hmm. You join us on a chilly April day. It's not that chilly, but anyways.
It's like 12 degrees today.
Yeah, I know. Well, for my standards, it's chilly. But to my left, of course, my fellow Gooner. My fellow 20-year-old friend, newly 20-year-old, fellow actor. I'm not a fellow actor, but he dances, he jigs, and he also likes to complain about football a lot. It's Blake Talibas, everybody.
Yeah, I'm here.
Of course, diagonally across from me, he's French, he doesn't sit on the bench, and he likes to edit for our podcast. Ooh. It's Antoine Leonard, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
And Julian Bancourt.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wow.
Anyways, guys, so good to be back. We just had a Premier League weekend after international break last week.
We had a Premier League weekend.
Well, he's kind of right. It was a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah. A Premier League weekend.
Yeah, but it's good to be back. I think if I get the opportunity to intro next time, I'm going to do that same sort of thing where it's like a CBS Golazo style where... the presenter will like talk about Jamie Carragher and Thierry Henry, and then at the end,
call her the presenter,
my queen
Kate Abdo.
But you know what I'm talking about, though, right? Where I do. The glorious, the greatest, and then at the end, it's like he sat on the bench and he's a Man United fan. It's Julian. But anyways, we're so happy to be back, guys. I first want to start off talking about what do we want to talk about first.
Well, there's a pretty big game that went on this weekend, guys.
Let's talk about United bottling once again. Because that's what I want to start. I went into the game. I was like, you know, United's going to win this game for some reason.
Yeah.
I really thought they were. And then, you know, they almost did. Mason Mount.
Why would you think we would win this game?
I don't know.
Well, you guys were up 1-0 at the end of the game. But
yeah, very clearly.
Have you checked the stats of the game?
Oh, God. Here we go.
I know. Did you guys get...
Just go look.
Did you guys get 31 shots?
You guys got absolutely
31 shots.
Dominated.
They got 31 shots.
Rasmus Højlund with a 5.9. Lovely.
Yeah, we did not get him in the game at all.
Yeah, that's tough.
Oh, wait, and your biggest op, Blake, you had a pretty bad game.
Bruno?
Yeah.
He had a 7-7, so apparently he did well.
Future Euro champion there to lift the cup captain.
Yeah, that's the funniest
thing. That's
right.
He played really well for Portugal. But as a United player, the last few months...
He played really well for Portugal against an Eastern European country that used to be part of the USSR.
Wait, did both of your center backs get hurt?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who are you stuck with now?
It's Varane again. Oh, we were rocking Maguire, Lindelof. Evans? That was PTSD.
But then Lissandro came
on. I think Evans is out too. Like
Lissandro came
Evans.
On.
Oh,
good.
But that's a good thing.
What's that?
Lissandro came.
Yeah,
on.
He's back.
That's good.
So we'll have him for 3 weeks until he ruptures his ACL again. It'll be fun. That's tough. And then we'll be stuck with Willy Kumbawala.
Yeah, him. Yeah.
Who actually I think is decent, but
fair.
18 years old.
So give me a quick roundup of what went wrong throughout the whole game, because apparently a lot did.
You know that guy that goes, bosh, amazing,
sick.
Yeah. The complete opposite of that is
shites.
United. Shite, disgraceful abomination
disoriented.
I want to poke my eyes out.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
0.59 XG is crazy. So yeah. So Brentford had a 3.29 XG and United had a 0.59. 31 shots for Brentford. 5 big chances missed for Brentford.
So. Man, I want to poke my eyes out with a fork is the rightful analysis for you there. No, honestly, I think we actually played some decent football against Liverpool before the international break. And I think it's ever clear to me now the reason for that is just because they're actually good teams. So we're able to counter against them. Mm. But anytime we come up against a low block, it's curtains. Like, it's so done out. Games at Brentford are always like insane. They're crazy on the counter. It's Lafitte Batoni. He lays it off and they're so out. They were dominating the rest of the game. The fact that we were winning at any point in this match was a downright miracle. But I think it's just a I think it's
miracle.
I think it's a God, I'm losing the words here. Kind of a sign of the kind of players that we have, that they were able to actually not concede for 96 minutes. We finally score. It looks like we're going to win the game. And the first attack that Brentford get right after
open
that,
up like an oyster.
After 30 seconds, they score their first chance. And
you guys
see
that slow-mo video of Ivan Toney bringing the ball down and passing it across in the box?
Yeah, that was sexy.
I didn't know.
I did not.
So
since Ten Hag out?
No.
Whoa, hold on though. There was a pause there. Mm-hmm. There was a pause.
It leads on to my next point.
Oh boy.
That I think I'm starting to get scared for him.
Ooh, this is a change of
Is it that thing?
No,
where
I was always scared for him, but like I could actually see him.
No, there was a genuine hesitation. There's something brewing in your mind.
Is it that thing where all the United fan base kind of want him to stay because they realize the players are shit, but they know that he's probably gonna get sacked because of the shitty players that are bringing him down like a weight of an anchor?
Round of applause for Miles, everybody. That was fucking fantastic. That was amazing from you. That's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is.
Antoine and Blake look very perplexed.
No?
No, I heard. Totally understood you.
Oh, really? Let's roll the tape back 15 seconds.
That's it's like trying to build a Formula One car with sticks and stones. And it, like,
it's
instead of
fucking F1.
Instead of buying the right tools and getting rid of the bad ones, then it's just, oh, it must
it's
be
It's like
the
trying to turn
fault.
Your mom into a car without wheels.
Ant.
Okay. It's always that analogy,
ant.
Too.
I know it was an ant, but.
Yeah.
You can't turn your mom into a car without wheels.
That's so unfortunate. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was given shape. It was this kind of performance on the players right after the majority of them were on England with on duty with England and Gareth Southgate while there are stories coming out that United could get Gareth Southgate if Ten Hag leaves.
That would be
and
so
oh
funny.
My goodness.
That would be so funny.
Nah, that wouldn't like, happen.
So
I would never show my face on this podcast again, respectfully.
You
I'm
guys
retiring.
Would have the lowest goal tally in the league.
Yeah, the XG would be 0.75 every year. Ridiculous.
It'd be so ridiculous. Like, if we bring Gareth Southgate, I lose all my hope in Radcliffe, in Baratta, in everybody that comes in United. But Ten Hag didn't make his mistakes. I think I can criticize him without calling for change. The fact that he kept on McTominay for so long, the fact that Rashford stayed on for so long. Actually, he didn't stay on for that long, but when we brought him off, we actually got a whole lot better. The fact that Bruno stayed on for so long when you had Mount, Eriksen, actually decent options off the bench now. I'm starting to...
Decent is a strong word.
That's crazy.
Well, Mason Mount came on and he, what I thought was our winner. You know, he's a £60 million signing
the thing
for,
is with Mason
for
Mount,
a reason.
He's actually one of those players that, like, once he gets going, like, once he's on form, he'll actually start banging all of them in.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that's fair.
So him well, scoring might bring
But at the very least, what Mason Mount can be is a suitable Bruno replacement on the days where he's having a bad game.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
He like but it's just and Bruno's literally admitted himself that he hasn't been playing that well. And yet there's this persistence to just keep him on. And I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Even me myself. And God, I think we brought off Maynou too early. We're playing McTominay and Casemiro. I just didn't understand it. And they're a big reason why we were just carved open like that. We have no midfield and it's so like unjointed. And the attackers are doing so badly. And he doesn't send out like a statement with his substitutions. Like, Garnacho, you're playing so badly. Come off. He doesn't do those kind of subs. He did last season, but he doesn't do these kind of subs now. I wonder if player power is like getting in his mind a little bit. Because I've seen this plot before. But yeah. I'm a little scared now that this is like we're getting to the end of Ten Hag. But it's not his fault, man. It doesn't mean he's a bad manager. It's just terrible, terrible, terrible situation.
Turmoil at the Theater of Dreams once again.
How many times have we heard that?
Oh, a lot.
Far too many times. Far but, too many times.
You know.
Like you guys, like you Arsenal boys, this can lead to a transition. You guys were under a very similar situation with Mikel Arteta, but you got rid of the bad apples in your squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them.
Mikel wasn't afraid. Well, I'm not saying that Erik ten Hag wasn't, but, well, you know what?
He was also, Mikel was also backed by the people above him.
Yeah, you do need
who
that.
Who didn't
yeah,
want to take shortcuts.
Yeah.
And who trusted the process.
Yeah.
Well, because also, if you keep your big stars, even if they aren't playing well, what's that going to, I mean, you obviously have to pay more money to them, but it's also going to bring the club, they're going to bring more money into the club. Keeping those players there. Think of Arsenal when we're at the lowest of our lows. Like, you didn't see anybody buying kits the year we were shit with like that many names on the back, right? Like, what are you gonna get? A David Luiz jersey?
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that's maybe one of the contributing factors as to why. Also, if you think about it in Man United's history, they don't, at least in the recent years before, I'd say before COVID, I'm not saying there wasn't much turnover, but they got really good very quickly year after year. And I think they're not used to being put in this position where they have to kind of do this whole rebuild again. Because if you look back in the early 2000s and leading up to it, I mean, they were, you know, it was quick. You sell a big player and you bring in another player in, right?
Yeah, that's a big thing. With United, it hasn't been... With the rebuild of Arsenal, because I always go back to it, I've been looking at it a lot when I think about what United has to do. You guys were, like, with lack of a better term, you were pretty shit for a good few seasons, right?
Yeah, fair.
Eighth, fourth?
Eighth FA Cup.
Fifth.
Eighth FA Cup.
That's true. That was eighth, positive. Fifth, second.
Fifth, yes.
Yeah, we did not get Champions League that year.
Yes, yes. But anyways... You were down in the trenches, and you had to be down in the trenches because that is where true change comes from, right? United have still, even under David Moyes and everything, through all that, we've never been lower than sixth. And I feel like that is, sixth is deep enough where it calls for managerial change, but not deep enough where you're like, okay, what's problem A, B, C, and D? Get rid of all these players. We need a complete reset. I don't think we've ever wanted to look at that issue, even though I think we've known that was there. Anyways, with us, it's like, this manager's doing badly. Let's get rid of the manager. New manager comes in. There's a bit of a player bounce. Players get to get friendly with the manager. A little bit of turmoil. Bad results. Players down tools. Manager gets sacked. Repeat, rinse, and repeat. Over and over and over again. And look where we are now. There's still four players on Manchester United right now that have been coached by Louis van Gaal at this club.
Mm.
That is fucking ridiculous. A reminder, Louis van Gaal left in 20...
Scott McTominay?
No.
Really?
Johnny Evans?
Yep.
Wait, Scott McTominay, no?
No.
Really?
Johnny
Evans... He was brought through by Mourinho.
Rashford?
Yep.
Damn.
Hold on, let me get one.
Yeah,
Martial's in there still.
Martial?
Really?
I'm done. One more.
When was Martial brought in? He was brought in
2016.
Luke Shaw.
There you go.
Hey.
Or maybe 2016.
All right, back to
that was very,
the quiz days, the TikTok quiz days when we all used to fight against each other.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous still. Martial, why the hell is he still here? We should have sold him years ago.
I know.
Shaw has been injured more than he's been good. Rashford, writing is on the wall. And Johnny Evans, why the hell did we bring Johnny Evans in?
Rashford had one very good season in the last...
It's good and he's terrible. It's good and it's terrible. Exactly. It's just like, oh my goodness, man. Yeah.
I wonder, Nah, that's kind of a crazy statement.
Go on then. Go on.
I was gonna say, I wonder if you think back to the time when he was doing all that work towards feeding all those children.
Oh man, here we go.
Yeah, okay. I know. This is
maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'll save maybe it not. Well, I'll save it for after the fun.
Well, you have to save it. You have to.
Do you think that he has stayed at the club? He is staying longer at the club because of how positive the media was. I mean, here, listen. Before I say anything, what he has done is absolutely amazing. Everything he's done for that, he's deserved his MBE, all that.
Yeah.
But, however, do you think that because he's done all that great work, he is or will or has stayed at Man United longer? If he had not done that stuff, do you think he would have been out of Man U on the current form he's been playing at?
No.
Okay. It's just, I don't think it's that outrageous of
a thought. I think it's a decent thought.
Outside of the charity work, I think Marcus Rashford as a name has blown up a little too much than it should for the player that he is.
Well, it doesn't have much of a name now.
Yeah, he's been
dead. No, but he, like, PR-wise, like, brand-wise, like, yeah, you know, yeah, doing yeah. podcasts with LeBron James-wise.
But I think that's all, I think a good lot show, of it show. Has to do with what he's done.
That's my favorite saying. That's my favorite saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That was from Marcus, isn't it?
Hold on, baby. I'm a banana photos.
My coach told me, put yourself in uncomfortable situations.
That's my favorite saying.
Yo, it's so crazy. This is so off track, but why does a guy like LeBron have to lie to fit in so much?
Like, I know, like, what?
People are going to want to talk to you, motherfucker.
I think they actually looked into that clip and found out that he wasn't lying.
No way, really?
He said like 10 years earlier in an interview, that he's like, my mama told me.
No, he wasn't lying.
That's class. But that picture of him reading a book and he's always on like the first page.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's
such a fibber.
Shout out Bron, dude. That's funny. Yeah,
my sunshine. Anyways,
there's no way we've been talking about United for 10 minutes.
Only 10?
That's great. We're at 16, so that's you got a lot from a 1-1 away at Brentford.
Shit, well, let's.
My point was gonna be that Marcus Rashford's gotten too big for the player that he is. Yeah. I think his attention has gone like it's kind of drifted off the field a little bit.
Fair.
And that's not to do with the charity work or anything, but it's to do with like the parties, the celebrities, the book tours, all that stuff.
Fair.
And I also think he has a ridiculous PR team that makes him look
his footballing ceiling is literally like Timo Werner, bro. If you think about it.
That's crazy. Bro.
Okay.
Bro,
you said ceiling?
Yeah. Bro has the media ceiling, influence bro. Of like Messi and has the football skill of and Timo Werner. You know,
what is the ceiling?
Hey, Werner's actually solid. I was watching Tottenham, bro. He was playing good.
Are you kidding?
What?
He's are you fried?
No, he's good.
In the first half, he played terrible.
Created good opportunities.
No, he didn't. There were so many times where he got the ball, he would try and dribble, and he would just like look like he was a deer on ice, didn't know what he was doing. His passing is fucking woeful. His passing is terrible. That's the one thing. When you put wingers at striker, their passing is always so brutal.
Uh-huh.
It's so tough to watch. They can never link up shit. So trying to watch him like link up play from the striker to the midfield, whatever, terrible. You can't do it. But Tottenham did come back and win that game.
They did.
Good for them.
Shout out Son.
Big FPL.
It is Luton. Let's be real.
It is Luton. Yeah, I think they're at home. No, they're away.
Hey, would you take Chung back to United?
Hell no.
Tahit,
bro.
He has more goals than Anthony. I don't know.
Big goal. But yeah, no.
No, bro.
Good for Tottenham. I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm not happy. I'm happy that Son scored. That's literally it.
Big game of the weekend?
Big game.
Sleeper of the weekend.
20 minutes in. We haven't talked about that yet. Let's get into it.
Should I preface by saying what I want to say? I've been seeing some stuff on the medias of social, and it's boiling inside of me. It's getting me mad.
Oh, we know.
Yeah, it's getting me mad because when you look at the grand scheme of things of how Arsenal's done against their direct title challengers this season, Liverpool and City, looks to me like they're unbeaten against them in the league. Looks to me like they've taken 8 points out of a possible 12, which means that City and Liverpool have taken a total of 2 points.
Four points each.
2 points each, collectively. When you look at it in that context, this is something Arsenal hasn't done for ages. The one gripe on Arsenal was that they couldn't do it when the lights were bright. They couldn't do it against the biggest teams. And now they're finally doing that. So when I'm seeing on social media that a 0-0, it was a boring game, yes. I'm not denying that. But a 0-0, like, you know, Arsenal just parked the bus. I can't believe they went to the, I can't believe they went to the Etihad and parked the bus. They didn't even go for it. Excuse me. Excuse me for locking down the best attack that we've ever seen, one of the best attacks we've ever seen, with the most automatic striker that people said was like the new machine, the best next best Ballon d'Or winner.
He's League Two.
Bro, like I just don't understand it. We go to the Etihad. We honestly had better chances than they did the whole entire game. Is that wrong to say? I don't think that's crazy to say that we had the better chances.
I think they had one chance that was better than ours, but collectively.
Name one chance besides the Ake.
Or the Haaland one. Haaland should have scored at the end.
Okay, well.
Oh, when he just missed it?
Yeah.
Just completely so two, but it. Then if Trossard squares it to Martinelli, mm-hmm. or if
that was such Gabriel an obvious Jesus pass
takes
too.
A shot quicker and doesn't try to be like five-star skills like he always fucking does. All that said, a 0-0 at the Etihad is a great result.
It's insane.
No matter what you guys, context you look at it from.
You guys stopped their 52, I think, game
57
game scoring streak at the Etihad.
Like that's
the last time was against Crystal Palace in 2021.
Yeah, that is crazy. But I just don't understand why there's such an emphasis on shitting on that result from an Arsenal perspective. Because yes, Liverpool are now ahead of us in the league, but Liverpool's going to drop points. Like this team isn't what it used to be. They're in that Arsenal kind of perspective where they're still kind of up and coming. They're not like the Firmino, Salah, whatever, mm-hmm. the Firmino, Salah, Mane days. Mm-hmm. So I believe they're going to drop points. So we've done our job against the two title challengers. We need to be very, very consistent up until the end of the season. And hopefully Liverpool and City drop points. And then we win the title. But that's, you know, best case scenario.
That's right.
How are the fixtures looking?
I can tell you right now.
They're not great.
I got my FPL.
They're not great. They're not great.
But you know what it is, though, is that the other two teams at the top have the same
teams.
You have Luton next.
Good. Tomorrow.
And then Brighton, and Wednesday. Then Villa, and then Wolves, and then Chelsea. Very good running. And then Spurs, and then Bournemouth, and then United, and then Everton.
Oh my God,
we can spoil their party.
Bro,
you're such a dick. Yeah, you want City and Liverpool to win it again?
I would actually rather.
I think Arsenal, it goes Arsenal. In City, Liverpool. I don't want Liverpool to win.
But you know what? I said this. I think I was totally okay with picking up a point because Liverpool are much... We know that City will probably win the rest of their games this season. I hope they don't, but...
Yeah.
But we're assuming that they will, right? Liverpool, if you look at Liverpool, like, come on. Like, they're a good team, but they're not, like, an automatic 3 points every game.
That's
a
famous last words right there.
No, I'm just saying, no! Oh, it's true, though. It is completely true.
The pedigree throughout the team isn't there anymore.
It really isn't.
It's Van Dijk, and it's Konate, who has been fine this season, but has had his moments. It's a midfield trio that, you know, again, has its moments, but isn't consistent, isn't Henderson, isn't, can't even think of anyone else who played on there.
The Ox.
Fabinho, it's not that consistent, like, put a shift in no matter what. McAllister, Endo, and Szoboszlai, they could ghost. You know what I mean? When in the past Liverpool teams, you know they weren't going to ghost. That's what was consistent about them. That's what's consistent about City. Mm-hmm. So you think, you bet some money that they're going to drop some points one way or another. And if they don't, then fair play. They deserve to win the title. Yep. And we still did our best. And we go again next year, and we have the Champions League to look forward to. But I think in the grand scheme of things, a 0-0 is not a terrible result at all. It's a good result, and we just got to hope for the best and do our job.
It is a good result for you. It is. I think more the criticism around the game, and I don't want you Arsenal boys to take this personally, all right? I don't want this to turn to a screaming match.
I think I've heard this, but go ahead.
It was more of a wider picture towards both Arsenal and City of what that football looked like on Sunday. Because I'm going to be honest, boys. It was good football. But, like, you know that Nike commercial where the robots take over the sports and, like, everything's, like, super boring? And, like, oh, it's optimal football. It's the perfect game. These players are the best they could be. Literally, it's exactly what I watched.
So...
And...
It's such a compliment, though.
I get your point, but that's what I mean, because... Because
y'all are too good. Is what I'm saying.
When has City ever been called boring, besides them always getting it to Haaland and him always scoring?
I think they're always boring.
When they come up against a good team, it's a little boring. Champions League final was boring.
Oh, that's actually true. It was so boring.
Yeah.
We'll
make it fun this year.
AI ball.
Yo, shut up.
We'll make it fun
this year. AI ball.
It is, but there is a sense of... fluidity when they do play a shitty team, which is
100%. Yeah, but it's more
at
like
the same time they hold most when they play shitty teams. Here's how it goes: they hold the ball for 80% of the game, and they park it in the other team's end, and they take terrible shots, and they whip the ball in, and then eventually they score once,
and it's like
they open up.
No players allowed to dribble.
Yeah,
it's like 2-3 touch. It's like optimized. Like if you're not like the shot's not worth more than 0.6 XG, you're not allowed to take it,
exactly,
or else Pep will give you
the slapping. Work it into the box. Like it's very.
Yeah.
ChatGPT football.
Yeah.
But it is all in context. So by that, I mean, while yes, you're right, it is very mechanical and get the perfect opportunity to get the highest chance to score. However, if one of those chances does go in, the game completely flips.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's all within context. Yes, the way they play makes it so that it's harder. Like the way the two teams set up, especially the way Arsenal set up, they did set up in a more defensive
way. There's also 8 center backs on the pitch.
Again, but that's the Pep philosophy, right?
And I hate it.
I know.
I hate it.
But my point is, imagine one of those shots goes in. Like, imagine Ake's corner goes in at the first, in the first half. Ake's corner goes in.
I would have been ecstatic.
No. But what I'm saying is that completely changes. Oh my God, shut the fuck up. If Ake's corner goes in, that completely changes the momentum, the game narrative. So then someone has to open up and then we have a different game. While I'm not saying that your point is wrong, it is AI-based football and it's very mechanical and it does work and it does obviously constitute good results. I'm just saying within the context, once again, if a goal does go in, it does still change the game. So people are like, oh, this is the future of football. Let's relax. Mm-hmm. Let's relax. Someone scores a long shot. Someone gets a lucky break. These happens all the time in games and the game becomes different, right? So I just think we all need to like be a little more relaxed on the whole this is ruining football kind of thing.
I agree. For sure.
I want to read off a stat to you guys before we move on. I saw this. First off, Blake, do you know how many goals we have conceded this year, in this calendar year?
6.
We have conceded 4 league goals this season.
Oh, you didn't say league goals.
Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
So
4 league goals mm-hmm. in the year of 2024. And do you know, I saw this. The 4 league goals that we conceded are Awoniyi, 89th minute, whilst Arsenal are up 2-0. Gabriel on goal versus Liverpool off his hand. Willock, 84th minute, while Arsenal are up 4-0. And Ramsdale error versus Brentford. So,
your boy.
Yeah.
Do we have the best center back
pairing? It's safe to say that Saliba and Gabriel are just...
Of course.
Like, they're not. You know what I mean?
They're,
so good.
They're not, but...
I see it.
They're really good guys. They're
you also
really
give credit
good.
To Rice in that stat.
Yeah, and credit to, you want to know what I want to give credit to is Martin Odegaard.
Yeah.
Holy shit, what a performance.
You think Rice played good yesterday?
I thought he played great enough. Fine. Like, I get no one played well attacking, and Odegaard played terrible attackingly. His final ball was absolutely brutal, but the work he put in was just immense. Mm-hmm. So.
Who was it Jorginho that played that pass to Martinelli, you know, with the breakaway, the 2-on-1, where he didn't pass it?
You mean to Trossard?
To Trossard, somebody laid off an amazing pass.
I couldn't tell you. But.
Can we also talk about this Haaland dialogue? Roy Keane calling him a League Two player.
Jesus,
yeah,
guy
crazy.
Is a little bit.
Oh, I saw that.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do we agree with that?
Oh my God!
I think
zero.
A
we
hot
don't
zero.
Agree with that.
Yeah, it's a hot zero.
However,
I'd say like a 3
however,
or 4.
Though, I don't think.
Listen, he is.
We're not doing TikToks, Julian. You don't need to take an outrageous take.
No. I'm not saying he's a freaking League Two player. Obviously not. Roy Keane is ridiculous for saying that, but it's also hyperbole and broadcast and what do you have to do, whatever. But, like, you're the best player in the world. You're the best at everything you do. Left foot, right foot, fantastic. You're a menace. Like, your positioning, your aerial ability, your presence is, like, fantastic. Can you work on your hold to play just a little bit?
No,
just a little bit.
No, absolutely.
Do you mind just a little bit, Erling? Just a little bit.
Because it is a little concerning when I feel like Eddie Nketiah has a better hold-up game than Erling Haaland.
That's what I mean.
And I don't think that's an outrageous take.
No, it's true. I don't see Haaland holding up the ball.
No. Exactly. And
what he does is he like gets the ball, he turns and runs straight at Saliba, and Saliba's like,
so
what are you doing?
Exactly, and it is that debate. What's more important? Is it the fact that he's such an elite finisher? Because he is by far the best finisher in the Premier League. I still don't think that's a debate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does that outweigh every other aspect where he falls short? We're starting to see that, right? We're starting to see how that
finally.
Yeah, how that can really, really affect a game, especially in a tight game against a real challenger, which City hasn't had.
Where the margins are so slim.
Exactly. Like Arsenal, this Arsenal team we talked about is more consistent than last year. Liverpool is a real title challenger. Mm-hmm. They weren't last year. Mm-hmm. Haaland didn't have to deal with this last year, right? This level of of consistent, hard battling, defensive football that City come up against. So now we're seeing his frailties shine through.
Good. There's also the fact that eventually he's going to get older. Mm. He's not going to be as much of a menace as he is now. He's going to lose that step.
He's also like 24, dude. Like this guy.
Eventually. I'm saying, bro.
Eventually.
Bro, one like ACL injury and like the way that he plays right now could be absolutely ruined.
It'd be like a Hector Bellerin situation.
Eventually, time will catch up. You're going to lose that tenacity. You're going to lose that knack for goal. And you're going to have to find new ways to be a contributor on the pitch. Or else you're going to fall off quicker than, you know.
Hector Bellerin.
Sure thing, Miles. That's exactly what I was thinking.
What were you thinking?
No striker, Hector Bellerin. Oh, I know you're not making that comparison.
Pato.
Mason Greenwood.
I think Bellerin was a bit more suited. But
okay. My point being that, like, you know, Erling, a 15-minute session after training every week, you know. Yeah. Is it too much, Erling?
Imagine Erling Haaland's finishing with Gabriel Jesus's everything else. That's
the best striker.
That's the best striker we've literally ever seen.
I think it also shows you that sort of in this day and age, you guys can disagree with me on this, but the out and out number nine at the top level is not sustainable. You can't have a striker that just sits at the goal. You need them to do more than that. You need them to hold the ball up and. And I think it kind of just exposes that.
I don't want to go too far with that. I think there's still plays for them.
Of course he still plays for them, but I don't know.
I know what you're saying.
He does have a lot of goals. I think we're just talking about this because he went up against really good defenders. So
very good defenders.
That's true. It is like your frailties do get a little bit exposed when you're playing at the top, tippity top, you know? Plus, he does have like a little bit of track record now of kind of ghosting against the big teams.
Indeed.
I mean, to be fair to him, like you said, it was 8 center backs, but it was also 4 CDMs. It was Rodri, it was Declan Rice, it was Jorginho, and it was...
Good Lord, yeah.
One more. John Stones?
No, he was Rico?
Rico did play.
Rico came on.
Sorry, like, give me the lineup.
For Ake, no?
Yeah.
No, he was one of the center backs. Give me 2 seconds.
Was it Mateo Nunes?
Kovacic.
And Kovacic.
It was 4 CDMs and 8 center backs on the pitch.
Give me like a break. Like, oh my God.
And De Bruyne and Odegaard both.
It's really sad bag.
Yeah. And they're both very viable defensively. So add that as another defensive aspect.
Oh, Jesus. It was
so it was just like, we were just playing 7-0-3. And vibes, but Chelsea also blew a lead.
Chelsea.
Insane. Ooh, let's get on to that.
It's been
really
a
bad.
Like, how do you get a red card? 1-0 with the red card, and the coach is sent off too. So there's basically no tactical like analysis whatsoever because the coach can't see
against,
what's going
on. Against the worst team in the league.
Against the worst team, second worst team in the league. And then you concede in the first half. Is that what they did?
They concede right after halftime.
Right after halftime. Yeah. And then right before the game ended.
And then they scored a winner. Cole Palmer scored a winner in the 78th. They concede 3 minutes later.
Yeah. And Jay Rodriguez hit the bar at like the 92nd minute. So they could have lost 3-2.
I don't know what's going to give, but they've got rid of their rotten apples, I suppose. They've gotten a coach that they trust to lead them to... great times, I suppose.
No, they haven't, bro.
But
where are they now? They sit 11th.
Like, I just don't see any way that they come back from this anytime soon.
I think today marks 1 year since Graham Potter was sacked.
Really?
And great progression.
They also have
since
a 2-goal.
Since then, they've gone from 12th to 11th.
There you go. There you go.
Big up, Chelsea.
They have a 2-goal differential.
That's like United numbers, Jesus. Oh no, we're on 0. That's still better.
That's really bad. Actually. You guys are in 6th though. So
Miles, not Miles, Antoine.
Yes.
Talk to me about your team.
Yes,
big game. this weekend. It was Le Classique.
Oh, was it a slobber knocker?
It's a big.
Why are you laughing? Let the man cook.
Sorry.
How many points clear?
Oh, he's laughing at me?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
just because of context, sorry.
Because I guess I realized it was cooking.
How many points clear are you in the league?
We are.
I think. Before this game.
I think we would be. I think we were 13. Five, six, seven,
you agree?
I think we're 15, 16.
So that's why Miles is laughing, because he said, what a big game. They were 13 points clear.
Yeah.
I mean,
it wasn't
a derby's a derby. A derby's a derby.
Yes.
On. Let's be real here, guys. And at the Vélodrome, too. It doesn't matter.
The Stade, eh?
It doesn't matter
the
how.
The Stade Vélodrome.
It doesn't matter how.
Was Derek Ray. Sorry, Antoine. We're coming back. Was Derek Ray commentating TFC this weekend?
Derek I think Ray he was, yeah.
I was like, where have I heard this voice before?
I guess they
before?
Have him on MLS.
I heard TV. Him on. I heard him doing De Klassiker like earlier in the day.
Yeah.
And then he's everywhere. Doing TFC. Like, what the hell is this guy doing? The side quests are insane.
Yeah, that was funny.
And then I was like, is this guy like surely I'm like hearing that wrong? So I look up Derek Ray TFC. This guy's on their podcast like every week.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
12 points clear, guys.
Oh.
But how many points clear of Marseille?
It's pretty.
Hey. I mean, I'll be honest.
23 points clear of Marseille.
Shit.
Jesus Christ. I don't.
That's crazy. You know what? That number is, I think, significant too, because I think Bayern are also 12 or 13 points behind Leverkusen.
Yeah.
Y'all see what? Sorry, keep going.
No, I was about to.
Yeah. Y'all see what Tuchel said after Bayern lost?
I saw that. I was gonna say something else.
He said, "Thank you very much. The league is done. Congratulations, Leverkusen."
Which is so insane as a manager.
But he's not Chavi. Wrong.
He's not wrong, but I'm sorry, you just don't say that.
Yeah. Chavi Alonso staying as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Say, yeah.
Which is, staying. I think, is great. Which I is think good, which amazing. Is what we wanted. We talked about
it's
this.
Amazing.
We
it's
amazing.
It's
so right?
good. Because we don't want Liverpool to get good.
No, we just want to see Bayer Leverkusen in the Champions League.
With a real shot. Why? I would love a new mainstay. Why can't they be the next Bayern for 5 years? I would love that.
I don't want them to be the new Bayern. I want it to be competitive in the Bundesliga.
Well, that's what I mean, though. I
want it
to
be like last
that'd be great.
Year.
Why not?
Absolutely.
Are you still going to brown nose Thomas Tuchel in this podcast or what?
After that, bro, I don't know. He's still the only manager that's brought us to a Champions League final. And I love him a lot. But I mean, after that, definitely on Frodo. Definitely a little bit of respect gone down.
Let me pose you this. If he comes to United this summer.
He's scared.
Yeah. I would be, trust.
I'm talking about the opponents.
No. I'd be terrified.
I'm kidding.
Brother.
Yeah, I don't know. He's been on Fraud Watch too. Like, he's been on Fraud Watch.
There you go.
I don't know. I thought he was the best. He was the best. I think, in my opinion, he was the best Chelsea manager for them in recent years.
I mean,
really?
What a hot take.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Only time they won something.
Oh my
God.
No.
That's their best manager.
I think. The sky is blue.
You know what? You know that Michael Jordan guy? He played in the 90s.
It's pretty good, eh?
I think he might be up there as the best player.
Whoa!
You know Pep Guardiola? You know, dude. Pretty sure he won a Champions League.
No, really?
You know, and I've heard he's bald.
Oh my God. Yeah, whoa. We know. And Miles is actually rethinking all this.
All righty, anyways.
Are we going to let me talk about Marseille PSG?
Yeah, go.
I would. Go for it.
Miles is dissing today. Anyway.
No. Go ahead.
I'm
kidding. Go ahead.
It actually wasn't at all. It was a great game. In the first half, though, our guy, Lucas Beraldo, Brazilian, just signed this summer. I've been talking about him quite a bit on this podcast. What a gem. He got sent off.
Is he a little boy?
He's 20. So...
depends what you find.
He's Leonard's older brother.
Yeah, we're buddies, right? I want one of you guys just pull up just the replay of the game and tell me if you think that's a red card.
Okay,
he got red carded for denying a clear goal scoring opportunity. By the way,
okay, I'm on the case.
Is it one of those things where Julian says he barely touched him?
Lucas
is a good ass Beraldo.
Oh, Beraldo.
Oh yes, I'm familiar.
So my thoughts right about this is that to begin with, I don't even think it's a foul.
When did it happen?
Right early in the game.
Okay, so we're coming up to it here. Was it here?
Before.
Maybe. Before?
He does not look Brazilian at all.
He looks Italian.
He does look Italian.
This is bad air. Bad air.
Where it happens. Go back.
This is guys. Right. This is great radio, by the way.
This is
fantastic radio.
Great. Oh yeah, that's
so.
Brutal.
Here it is.
Yeah, that's
he got
brutal.
Sent off
that's
for
brutal.
That.
Huh?
He got sent off for that straight red.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's, oh, a, that's of course the
that's like maybe
too,
a yellow. If
that guy was not even a foul.
Is he gonna appeal?
No, that's
that?
A.
My takeaway.
I need to see it.
My takeaway. Aubameyang clapped, but about the card.
Hey man, he's top of a
that's
conference.
You like, can't, you can't give a. That's a good challenge.
You can't give a.
Like, that's not
red.
A foul to me.
It could be a foul.
It's a foul.
I can see how it's given as a foul. I don't think it's a foul.
All
but
the
a
way,
red card
again.
All the way in, on the right side of the pitcher, barely past the halfway line, and it's not a goal scoring.
Let's give context.
Bro.
Remember, we all remember the illustrious Chiellini.
Yes, I was literally. This is what
yes.
it made me think of.
Right.
If that's a red, then he should be like sent to prison, Chiellini, for doing what he did.
Oh, totally.
He's kind of hot, bro.
He is, bro.
He's kind of a stunner.
So anyway, keep going, though.
He's a stunner. So anyways, yeah. Despite the red card in the first half, we still bummed these idiots 2-0. Vitinha and Gonzalo Ramos. Vitinha's so good, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I just want to express my love for Vitinha real quick. If he goes to another club anytime soon, I'm going to be very sad because I think he is literally the reincarnation of Verratti.
Oh, there you go.
Blood thinks he's Bellingham, though.
You see the goal? Look at the goal.
That it was a sexy goal.
It was a sexy, sexy goal. But he's Portuguese, so he's glazing. So I think he might.
Did you just say Verratti? Because I was about to say.
But
shades of
reincarnation of Verratti.
Vitinha is Portuguese. Oh, I knew that.
Hey, I'm saying, man, don't count us out.
Can't wait
for
him to lift the cup this summer.
Don't count us out. Don't count us out.
Portuguese boys.
And in May.
Yeah.
And in May. Shut the fuck up.
It's actually happening. I'm sorry, bro. Like, it's happening.
What's happening?
Champions League.
No,
it's
no.
still happening. Unbeaten
no,
in 2024.
No.
We haven't lost in 2024 yet.
Oh, neither against two. List off who
did you
played.
No.
Please.
You haven't?
Well, okay, we have against
no.
Porto.
Okay,
but
yeah.
Not in the league.
But not in the league.
I mean, Porto's a pretty easy team to beat, to be honest.
Oh my God, shut up.
You
PSG better. Champions League, Portugal Euros, Vitinha wins Ballon d'Or. Are you with me?
Who?
Not this Vitinha
wins Ballon d'Or.
Vitinha wins Ballon d'Or? I'd be about it.
I think we have to give it to him.
We have to.
If Jorginho can come top three for us.
All right.
Absolutely. Miles, are you having a good time on this pod today?
Yeah, fine.
All right, let's make it worse. So, let's do an NBL roundup. Yes.
I love Miles.
Who wants to take it away?
Arsenal could win the Premier League, and then Miles is going to come here talking about that in a Tottenham kit.
Yeah.
Wild.
Or you guys
no
can come here and Arsenal will have won the Premier League, and you all will be in beautiful, nice fake kits next year.
Why?
Did we not talk about this?
No, man.
You're
wearing a Tottenham kit.
So you don't want to... I've said I would do a mystery kit for three of you.
Nah.
Okay.
He's good.
Nah. You're not getting out of this, bud.
I'm just saying.
So
Antoine said he would take the ladder.
I would take the ladder.
No.
Free kit? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not against it.
No, don't be selfish, boys.
Come on,
don't
bro.
Be selfish. We agreed from the
first. It would be
day
a nice sight.
You know
to
what
see
it is? You know why?
Kit.
You know why Julian's the only one?
If
listen,
you
listen.
My kit collection is struggling, so I might.
You know why Julian's the one? Because Julian finished second. He was nowhere near finishing first to winning the whole thing, and
it's
he wasn't
done.
Close to
okay,
death
done.
Of coming
but
last.
Let's have a,
hey, it's not done. It's not done.
No, I'm just saying.
Would this be Miles?
These two want kits, and
he's,
you don't.
For reference, Julian is standing up to make this point.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Would this consist of Miles going out and buying mystery kits for all of us and actually giving us good kits? Or would it be Miles pulling out the worst kits in his closet from back home, bringing them here and just tossing
them
at us?
Yeah, putting them in like
and
a little mystery
spending
bag.
$0
so
for us
fact.
On like a for like a 2015 Atletico Bilbao kit.
You know, if I actually lost, I would get y'all nice
no,
kits.
No,
I know you would.
You yeah. could.
You would definitely find
I,
like the
if
best.
I,
am I wrong?
Best
am I wrong?
I mean, yes, you are. You are. No, you are. Because in all honesty, like that, I don't touch that collection. Like nothing gets taken from there.
Well, fuck.
Listen. What? No, seriously, like there are too many. There, all those kits, like they have a special meaning to me. I would buy you guys new ones, and I would take a screenshot with the jerseys covered up.
I would need the receipt, actually.
That's okay. You can look
no,
at my bank
no,
statement.
No, no.
The receipt's
he's wearing a Tottenham kit. He's wearing a Tottenham kit.
All
right. Antoine, if you were bottom of our league right now, do you think he would give you that way out?
If I was bottom of the...
Bro, I don't give a fuck
actually,
about
no,
Marseille.
That's actually a great point, Julian, because if I was bottom of the league, I would try to get... out of wearing a Marseille kit any day of the
of
week.
Of course,
exactly.
I would
be
too.
My number
exactly.
one.
I would too.
So you're wearing a Tottenham kit.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, it is looking ever likely. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah? Why
oh,
is that,
yeah,
Blake?
Of course.
How about
I've
you round this
up?
Hey, listen. Salah triple captain 34.
Who's he playing?
You haven't used it?
Okay. See, why he hasn't
you,
used the triple captain yet.
Because
say that?
He's going to use it eventually,
who's
guys.
He playing on 34?
You'll have to do your own research.
You're good. Oh, brother, this guy stinks.
Okay. So, just to put everything in perspective,
I'm not talking for the rest
Brennan of the Johnson, segment. Brennan Johnson, Antoine Leonard is still miles ahead.
Yes, of lads. Welcome back.
1847 points for the entire season. We have Julian at 1727. You have Blake with 1651 and Miles at 1638 and fourth. So, I have a 13 point lead on him now.
What did you say?
Hey, the 13-point lead could
you
go like this.
You can't talk when both of them
like,
are talking.
I was
talking.
Like 50 points behind them.
You were.
Fulham and Everton.
Oh, double it's, game week. Pop off, queen. It's. All right, bet.
He's going to use it eventually.
What's your overall rank, guys?
Yo, low-key that week, I have to sub in Salah. Just so whatever he gets, I get like a
portion of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Maybe well,
I'm bringing in Salah for this week.
I was thinking about that.
He already has.
Whatever.
Yeah, his price has shot up. So
has it?
Get that in. Deadline's tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's probably going up tonight.
Would you like all walk-ins?
Yeah, I'll have to like all walk-ins.
Price changes are at 9:30 p.m.
9:30 p.m.
And he's probably going up tonight.
Oh, he's definitely going up tonight.
Fair. Okay, yeah. We'll see.
I brought in Muniz from Fulham. Okay. He's been on a tear lately.
Oh my God. You had two? He's been on a fucking rampage.
You had two?
What?
You had two free transfers?
I actually took a minus eight.
You took a minus eight, bro.
Took a minus eight. So I had one free transfer and then two extras after
that. Well, he has like 100 points to play with, so I mean.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Minus it's also eight. It's Salah against Sheffield.
You could have just wild carded.
No.
Yeah, at that point.
No. I'm saving that.
Miles, did you even use your wild card in the first half of the season?
No, he did not.
I didn't. I swear.
He thought we only had one all season. Yeah. Which is fair.
Fair.
Read the rules, innit?
Innit.
Anyway, this week it was. Let's see who did well.
You did the best this week, I think.
By one point, I did the best this week.
Did you take a hit?
I did not.
Did you roll?
I made one transfer.
Ait Nouri?
Yep. Brian Ait Nouri.
What a good player.
Targeting the doubles coming up. I took a big risk by benching all my Arsenal players. And like it technically didn't pay off, but I feel like
it did not pay off at all. But
So I benched Gabriel and Saliba, and they both got a clean sheet. But like, who predicted that they were going to get a clean sheet?
We all benched.
But I played Saliba. But
so I feel like every good FPL player did not play Arsenal center backs, and why would they? Right? Why would you?
So am I a good FPL player?
Yeah, you're a good FPL player. Yeah.
Yeah. To come back.
What about?
Points,
what yes. about? That's true. Okay, fine. How about looking at who got the most points this week in FPL? Like overall,
this week, yeah. I did.
No, like in the world.
Oh, in the world,
they probably
the
had
world?
An Arsenal center back.
Yeah,
let's.
Oh, they check.
Actually, no, they definitely had Ayer from fucking Brentford. They had who else?
They had Haaland. I saw they had Haaland.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
highest points.
They had like all the
Konsa, bro, Palmer, Isak. Who's their captain? Captain Son.
Who's in the back?
And he's
on
the bench.
Person highest
and he's
this
on a
week
bench
obviously
with
had
Martinez 10 points and Bowen 10 points on the bench.
Oh yeah,
but like it wasn't smart to play them. That's my point.
Right.
Because why would you away at City?
I just took a risk. I said fuck it.
Yeah, hey, and the risk paid off, brother.
Well, yeah, it didn't mean much though.
And then I benched Saka, who got 3 points. It's kind of a blank.
Yeah, Saka's been ghosting a little bit.
Saka does this thing where at the end of every game he just wobbles off and gets
everyone
scared.
Have to sell
scared.
Him soon, eh?
Saka?
But he's been in my.
He's been really
he's
good.
He's been on my team the whole year. Besides the.
He's been really good.
The free hit. But
God, I was looking back at earlier in the year, like what I did to like do so badly at the start. I had to sell one of Rashford or Saka, and I sold Saka. What the hell? Yeah, really? What the hell is
that's
wrong?
That's biased, though. That's why.
What the hell?
As a neutral, it's fine.
Yeah. Like, what the hell
doing
was
so
I
well?
Doing?
Why are you doing so well?
Maybe.
Good for you.
Could be.
You've been on that Raptor train for a while. I have not.
I actually switched because Raptor is selling my shit now.
True. You've been
but
on
he's
that
doing
FPL Harry shit.
That's what I'm saying. Are y'all even make? You're not even making your own picks.
I am making my own picks. There's no like.
He gives you the transfer targets every week. Players to look at. Some good options. He gives you ideas, but I be making the picks. Don't worry.
I'm absolutely making the picks.
Yeah.
So Palmer captain against Man United?
Hell no. Salah captain against Sheffield.
I have to bring him in, actually.
It's all about you.
And Saka captain versus Luton.
Push!
Hey, I'm predicting a big upset.
Don't do that.
Villa over City this weekend. Or
that's
this
not
week.
A big.
Ooh, that would actually.
That would you. I think Blake.
That would actually
scream.
Make me so happy.
Yeah, Blake would be so fucking happy.
Make me so happy.
Must do.
Good stuff.
Make me very happy.
Well, I guess we'll see.
I guess we'll never know.
All right, boys. Anything else?
Do we have anything else?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Besides the Leafs winning 2-0, Matthew 61. Nut.
Attaboy. Is next week our final week of in-studio pod?
Yeah, but we are shifting to virtual pod, which we are going to do.
We are, eventually. We might need like a week to buffer, but like I feel like we're going
to
get there.
We need to get it done by like the last 5 game weeks of the season, though.
Oh, 100%.
Like that's at the very, very least.
100%. 100%.
Easily.
Yeah. And like, yeah. Oh, like business in the Champions League. We'll have the concert down by like the time the Euros comes around.
And it'll be and we'll easy. Shrink we'll shrink the transfer season. Call. We'll figure out the things.
What we can do.
Lakey Boy will edit.
Actually, we'll talk about it after the pod. But
Antoine will find a way to edit.
Yeah, Jew will kill himself
because I don't want Jew to kill himself.
But yeah, again, I will be basking. We can figure out a day I can be here, but it just cannot be Monday.
Yeah, all right. So next, maybe like Tuesday early afternoon, Tuesday morning, and then
do you either
edit right away and then get the thing up?
Oh yeah, because well, next Tuesday will be Champions League, so if you guys want to come down early, we can book a studio early.
Oh my god, and then Nangs.
I'll watch on Miles. Go to Nangs. I'll watch some Champions League
on Miles. We can make a little day out of this.
Four? Three?
Wait. But we have the do some of us have the presentation next Tuesday?
Fuck, I do.
Tab out. Nah.
Wait, but what the fuck?
It's a 20-minute thing.
It's 20 minutes online.
Oh, it might be during the game.
Yeah, but just... Yeah, it'll be during the game.
Wait, but isn't the whole...
We'll Wednesday? Yeah. Oh, fuck. Then I have work.
Wait, okay.
All the games are Wednesday?
Let's talk about this.
There's eight teams, so two Tuesday, two Wednesday.
Well, early in the pod, you said everybody plays at the same time. So
I thought you meant like you guys were smart people, and you realized that there's eight teams left, and both teams.
That's
play
always
at three,
what happens. That's why I was shocked when you said every team plays at the same
they
time.
They do all teams play at three, just on different days. That's what I meant. That's what you said.
Oh, I'm so trading my shift on Wednesday. Like you have no idea. Like yeah, asking.
I'm well
person.
Aware.
Just call and say, brother.
Nah,
come on.
I don't do that.
Come watch it. No, you won't.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should actually.
Let's call it a wrap. Anyone want a wrap to edit?
Sounds good, Mal.
Anybody want to
see? This is why I pride myself on being able to like. So anything else? I feel like I can naturally.
You said that already.
All right, let's end it.
So
we're talking about our personal life.
You're right. We should wrap. Should I send it away?
This is like...
am I sending it away? I don't like doing it. I always send it. I don't.
Do well, guys, we appreciate you so much for joining us. We had laughs. We had arguments. And we talked a lot about Prem and the PSG and what's... yeah, okay. Well, I realize what I'm doing.
They're bullying Miles.
They're bullying me.
Okay. Well, no, it was a good pod. Lord. We had some Prem. We got some nice things to look forward to next week. We have a midweek of Premier League stuff this week, which should be fun. But yeah, we'll be back next week with even
we
more.
We love you, Miles. We do.
We love you, Miles.
We love you, Miles.
We do. From all
and
of us here.
Without Miles, further ado,
we do.
We
oh,
are out.
We love you.